This time we'll now turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, and then at this time I'll read chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, we read this word of God. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities. But fear thou God. If thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. May the Lord bless us in the reading of Ecclesiastes 5. Our text this evening is the last part of chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, where we read, "Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him. for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, context in particularly verse 8 reminds us that, yes, God is in the creation, and God is very present among the children of men as the judge who beholds what men do and will bring every man into judgment, whether he hath done good or evil. But verse 9 also shows us that God is very present in regards to something that is common to all mankind. Great men today, such as verse 9 teaches, kings, they may be far removed from the daily labor of farming, field work, various areas of agriculture, cash crops, and various other types of farming, and the day-to-day operations of a dairy farm or a cattle ranch and various things like that. But in verse 9, Solomon, in his wisdom, which God gave him, declares that even the king himself is served by the field. Even kings, as powerful as they may be, and as it may appear to be, they are so disconnected from the sweat and the toil of a farm laborer, yet nevertheless, they are very connected to the field and the farm. And they are connected to that by the providence of God. All men, great or small, no matter their standing or station or calling in life, everyone is inseparably connected to the daily operations of the providence of God and his distribution of the good gifts of the creation of the earth, which he dispenses to all mankind. And what is then the proper response to that basic reality of daily life, that everyone is fed from the field? The context shows that the wicked do not respond properly to that basic fundamental reality of God and his distribution of earthly things. They reject the providence of God. They make a god out of the things of this life and serve those things in themselves. As verse 10 teaches, they love the silver of the earth and the food and whatever else it may be that the earth may afford and bring forth. But they are never satisfied, verse 10 teaches. They shall not be satisfied with that upon which the world sets its heart. They may hoard all these things in their bigger barns as the rich fool did, but all they have is toil, no rest, only worry. And it brings forth, as verse 13 teaches, nothing, only sore evil and toil and misery. So that Solomon concludes in verse 16, what profit hath he that labored and laboreth for the wind, as the worldly man does? What profit is there in that? Nothing. That response of the wicked to God's daily distribution in life is vanity. And thus, how shall then the child of God respond? How shall we respond to that basic fundamental reality of life that God feeds and clothes us day by day by day? Well, we learn from the wisdom of Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes that we must analyze and look at earthly life always in connection with the providence of our Heavenly Father, our God. We must remember that we bring nothing into this life and we will take nothing out. And who is it ultimately that will feed and clothe and take care of us each and every day upon our pilgrimage in this life? We must learn the wisdom of Solomon and understand we depend totally upon our Heavenly Father for everything, even in our bodies, day by day. And it's in that knowledge that Solomon instructs us that we must labor day by day, and through our labor, according to our God-given abilities, enjoy the portion, the daily portion that God is pleased to give unto us through our daily labor. As we begin, beloved, another growing season, another cycle of planting, plowing, all those things, and then with the view, the Lord willing, to the harvest, let us remember, as Solomon teaches us, to fear our Creator God, who governs all of these things, who upholds this creation, who upholds the fields to do what they do as He creates them and governs them to do, to produce the food, the crops that we sow in the ground. And let us remember our dependence upon Him as we need His portion, His daily portion given to us for our service in His kingdom. And labor day by day in the faith. He will provide that for us as our faithful Father. And thereby let us rejoice then and enjoy, as Solomon teaches the believer does in our text, enjoy that daily portion that God is pleased to give us through our daily labor. Call your attention then to the text under this theme, the believer's enjoyment of his daily portion. The believer's enjoyment of his daily portion. We'll notice the meaning, the manner, and then thirdly, according to verse 20, the reason. The Lord, through Solomon, describes for us thoroughly our daily portion. According to verse 18 and 19, our daily portion includes all of those good earthly gifts God has distributed to us. It includes that which we commonly understand as our daily bread, the basic necessities of life, your food, the clothing, the shelter, the transportation, the medical care that we need. All these things God has determined and He allocates and He distributes to us each and every day from His hand, literally to our bodies, to our mouths. But in addition to our daily bread, verse 19 also includes that portion is the abundance which God may be pleased also to give us day by day. So that for most of us, of God's people in the earth today, God gives not only the basic necessities of life, we, for example, discover God also gives to us quite a surplus too, doesn't He? So that if you and I were to go to your homes and look at your fridge, you probably have several shelves of leftovers in the fridge. And go to the closets and you have a lot of extra clothes to wear. Maybe you have two cars in the garage. Verse 19, Solomon refers to every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth. Solomon himself was an example of that. He not only received daily bread, but God gave him far more than just the basic necessities of life. In fact, God made him one of the wealthiest kings in all of history. That was his portion. not just the basic necessities of life, but all of the luxuries he received, all that additional abundance of all the good gifts of God's creation. And you children remember all of those things, such as the animals he collected from different parts of the world. That was also part of his daily portion. And thus our daily portion today includes all of the food, all of the drink, all of the clothing, the shelter, the vehicles, your children, your toys even, your books at school, the hobbies that we have, the furniture, the house, even the earthly life of relationships, of marriage, of parents and children and grandchildren and relatives. That's our and part of our daily portion. Normally, we receive that daily portion, as Solomon teaches in the context, through daily labor. As Solomon warns us in the Proverbs, we are not to be slothful or lazy, but it's through the means of our daily work, our labor, that we receive our daily portion normally. Now, some of God's people, of course, are not able to work because they're in their youth, they need to go to school, or they may be disabled. They may have a debilitating sickness by which they, although they would love to, but they cannot go and labor with their hands because of health problems. They must receive their daily portion through the assistance of, perhaps, benevolence. Or some of God's people have labored for many, many years, but have stored up perhaps a retirement fund and can use that in their later years. They too, through the labors of earlier years, receive their daily portion in their retirement years, whatever the case may be. It's normally through that daily labor that we receive not only our daily bread, but sometimes even a surplus besides, as our daily portion. And that the Lord teaches us in verse 18, he does continually under the sun all the days of his life. God gives us our portion each and every day. He doesn't only do that to the birds that we see in our bird feeders or the birdhouses in our yards. God gives to them their portion and they rejoice. But God also to us, day by day, without fail, gives to you your daily portion. And the text teaches in the fourth place in verse 18 that daily portion is always good. That daily portion has beautiful characteristics. The kind of what God gives us is always pleasant. It is always good in his sight, whatever kind of food or whatever that portion may be. We don't always think so because of our covetousness or envy, perhaps. But in the eyes of God who made it, and in his providence who gives it to us, it is good. And even the amount which God gives to us is always, in the eyes of God, sufficient, perfectly, without mistake, always at the right time, exactly what you need and our children need. And thirdly, that idea of good means that portion always has a good purpose. It serves, of course, our health and strength. It serves us in whatever circumstance of life we may be. It serves our ability to go out and to labor each day, to receive through that labor more of our daily portion from the hand of the Lord. It is good because it's to be used for the support of the church, the family, the causes of God's kingdom, the Christian school. And it's good because it serves an occasion for us to do as the believer in the text does, to rejoice in the Lord. And to rejoice in the Lord in the understanding, in the fifth place, that this daily portion, as described in the text, is gift. It's all gift. To those of you who are wage earners, that may sound rather strange. Well, I went to work, I worked so many hours, and because I worked, I've obligated my boss to pay me the check at the intervals that he needs to do that. But even so, as the text and Solomon show us in our relationship to God, even that paycheck and everything of our daily portion is given and gift. Which means your daily portion, the car which you have, the clothes which you wear, the food which you eat today, the sleep which you receive tonight, is something we'll never deserve. Never merited it. And we can't even reach out and turn on the tap and make that daily portion come to us. No. It's gift. Freely bestowed into your wallet, into your account, into your mouth, into your cup. The paycheck that you receive is gift given from God. Having the ability tomorrow to get up, to wake up, and to do the work of the day, whatever it may be, it's given. It's gift. All gift. Never to be deserved. And God does that day after day after day, preserving your health as gift. And doing that in spite of our sin, still freely gives it to us. That daily portion, beloved, for every man, in fact, is gift. It is given by the providence of God. For the child of God, that daily portion is much more than just a gift of God's providence. It is also, we believe, the gift, according to Psalm 73, from which we sang, it is the gift of the attitude of God's smile upon us, his favor upon us, his church in Jesus Christ. For the sake of Jesus Christ, we rejoice in the text, and according to Psalm 73, that daily portion is not God's curse to you, the daily bread, but also the abundance we receive. That abundance is not a curse to you. Christ has removed the curse. It is a curse unto the world when they receive their daily portion, as the context shows, which brings only upon them misery and God's judgment. But for Jesus' sake, your daily portion is the gracious gift of your Heavenly Father. Day after day after day, whether we acknowledge or realize it or not, it's all gift. Let us then, as the text teaches, rejoice in that daily portion. Rejoice in the food, even in the abundance which God gives us through another season of planting and plowing and weeding and all of the work and the blood and the sweat that goes into that work and then the harvest. Rejoice in that daily portion. And Solomon, in the context, then reminds us and teaches us and warns us even against what our response ought not to be. Be not as the world, which boast in their daily portion, like the rich fool, who said, wow, look at me. Look at all my stuff. Look at all what I will do, and I will build my barns to hold this surplus, this portion. And I will enjoy this portion forever. I will feed my soul and make my soul so happy. What foolishness. Let us not boast in the portion which God has given us. Nor may we complain about what God has given us, like Israel did in the wilderness. Nor may we envy others whose portion may be so much bigger than what our portion may be. Nor may we rejoice to the extreme of gluttony unto offense, such as drunkenness. We must rejoice and enjoy that daily portion in moderation, rejoicing just as the creation does, according to its nature which God has given it and its capacity to praise the Lord when the nature receives its portion, which we behold in the changing of the seasons as the birds receive their portion of another spring season, and they make known their joy to us, which fills our minds and hearts with gladness too, because of the picture that the springtime sets before us according to Scripture. But just as God gives that portion to the birds and the animals, and they rejoice, let us also receive our daily portion with rejoicing. And that joy, you understand, is not in the things itself, but in the God, our God who has given it to us. We rejoice in God who may have given us, according to his wisdom, much or less perhaps than what we're accustomed to. But we rejoice in God, our God, for his wisdom, for the amount and the kind and the purpose of the daily portion he has given us, whether it's given to us in adversity or in prosperity. We receive that portion in joy and thankfulness as the servants of the Lord. That response, beloved, is, as Solomon teaches, good and comely. It is good because that's the purpose for which God has made us, to praise him, to serve his purpose in Jesus Christ. And that's what he has created us in Christ Jesus, unto the praise of his name. That is pleasant and beautiful unto him. And that is good for us to do as we come into another season, another cycle, another time, of which Solomon speaks earlier in Ecclesiastes, of the planting and the harvest. Enjoy, beloved, the portion which God is pleased to give you. How should we do that? Solomon warns in the context that we may not rejoice in our daily portion and enjoy that daily portion in covetousness. That's what Solomon observed among the wicked, which he speaks of earlier in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. He observed that the wicked, well, they received their daily portion. Yes, they did. But they served that daily portion as a god in itself. They believed in that daily portion as the source of their joy and their happiness and their future and their hope. In that covetousness, they loved that money. They loved the silver. They loved the abundance, not just the basic necessities, but all of the luxuries too. As a result, Solomon observed, they could only receive their daily portion in covetousness and sinful rejoicing for the wrong reasons. Yes, the wicked rejoice in their daily portion, and you and I can observe that in the world. But their rejoicing and their enjoyment is short-lived. They're never satisfied. They covet more. They need more. More of this and more of that, of the things of this life. Always looking, well, they're enjoying today, looking beyond to what they might need tomorrow or next year or decades from now. They're never satisfied. And perhaps you've noticed in the social media world, those of the world who realize the toil of that misery of loving silver and trying to accumulate all of the abundance of this life. And so they have set themselves to downsize their possessions, eliminate their debt, leave the 9-to-5 job, buy a yacht perhaps, and sail around the world, minimize their life, bring it down to a point where they have more control and they think that's going to make them happy. But not so. They never repent of their covetousness and true sorrow. They continue in their self-centered life. They do not seek forgiveness. They do not rejoice in the God of our daily portion. So that though the world may do these things, they never escape that covetousness, whether it be coveting for more or coveting, as some do, for a simpler life in which they have more control and they will make themselves happy in their self-centeredness. No. The consequence of that worldly response to the daily reportion they receive from the hand of God is explained by Solomon. Even in those that minimize their possessions and go off on these long voyages around the world, they only suffer unrest, worry, worried about their daily portion. Solomon teaches they labor for the wind. They labor for vanity, and they reap the wind with sorrow and wrath and punishment under the hand of God. Solomon warns us to flee that covetousness, for which we need the grace and the Holy Spirit of our Lord. Not focus then on the daily portion itself, or not focus on what is not in the daily portion. Don't do that. You and I would be angry if we, after all this research and effort and time and money, would purchase a gift and then bring it to our friend, believing, okay, this gift is exactly what the friend needs and a way to express our appreciation for the friend. The friend receives the gift and opens the gift and then begins to talk about what's not given in the gift. We would be appalled at their ingratitude. And yet, beloved, that's what we do to our Heavenly Father. We're quick to criticize what is not in our daily portion today, ignoring all of the work, all of the wisdom, all those things God has done to bring to us our daily portion today. And when tomorrow comes, tomorrow. Just flee that covetousness, flee that ingratitude. Don't listen to the devil who tempts us to think that in covetousness and having more than what God is pleased to give us, well, there is the happy life. There we will surely be satisfied. That will make us happy. No, Solomon warns us, that's an activity of laboring for the wind. And then you will reap the wind. Nothing. Misery. Vanity only. So, beloved, let us be on our guard against that covetousness. Look to Christ for forgiveness. Look to Him for wisdom to deliver us from that covetousness and to enjoy our daily portion as Solomon learned and teaches us. Our rejoicing, beloved, in our daily portion is an activity of faith within that sphere of contentment. That's a contentment in God. That is a contentment in and with that daily portion. Happy that God has, for no reason in us, dispensed to us again another day's worth of that daily portion, which is not dependent on us, but dependent on His almighty hand. Content and totally satisfied in God's wisdom to give us not just the necessities, but whatever else may belong to that portion for the day. A contentment which doesn't complain about the quantity or the quality, but receives it as a contented little child receives the care of his or her mother in satisfaction and trust. And then receive that, willing to consecrate ourselves with that daily portion in the service of God's kingdom and covenant. With that contentment, then there is true enjoyment of the good gifts of this life. In whatever time or circumstance or whatever season of life we may be in that contentment, we may rejoice in our daily portion. And that contentment, you see, is a fruit of another gift of God, faith in Jesus Christ, faith which understands the realities of that daily portion like Solomon did, sees the hand of God clearly, sees it all as gift, sees it as an undeserved gift, and receives it with contentment. In, as Solomon describes earlier, in a sleep even which is sweet, totally content, in which we trust our Heavenly Father, who knows exactly how much and what kind and when we need what we need, so that this faith in contentment can say as Jacob did, I have enough. I am satisfied. Why may that faith do that? Beloved, verse 20 gives us the reason. First of all, Solomon teaches the believer will enjoy and may enjoy his daily portion, for he shall not much remember the days of his life. The righteous man, the believer, has a certain ability, Solomon teaches, not always to recall all of the details of his daily life. He is not constantly bringing before his mind, constantly rehearsing all the details of his life, which Solomon describes earlier as his life under the sun in the vanity of this life. He's not rehearsing the treasures which he gained maybe in the past, or losing sleep over the treasures which he lost. He doesn't consume his thoughts over missed opportunities for this kind of abundance or that kind of luxury and lay awake at night, wondering what he should have done to do more to get that abundance and that wealth of tomorrow. No. The child of God, Solomon teaches, as he himself learned, understanding the brevity, the uncertainty, the swiftness, and the vanity of this earthly life, fills his thoughts with the daily portion and the realities of that daily portion, that it is from his heavenly Father, given through his faithful labor, for the support of himself, the church, the causes of his kingdom. The foolish in the world cannot do that. They consume their thoughts with all the details of what has passed, of the things they missed out on, and, well, we're not going to do that again, and all the details of what may happen in the future to them. In fact, perhaps you've noticed this too in the social media world. Some constantly bring to mind the details of the future of their lives with their bunkers and their bunkers full of shelf-stable food, so stable it can last for over 25 years as they wait for an impending disaster that they predict may come. Well, what Solomon says in the context is very true of those people. Their sleep is not sweet. They live in a constant toil of moth and rust and whatever could corrupt their stockpile of food and guns and whatever else, and worried about the thieves that may come during the disaster that they are worried about constantly. The text teaches that's not the believer. He rejoices, he enjoys his daily portion because, by the grace of God, he is not consumed with the thoughts of the here and now. He focuses on what Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer, pray for our daily bread. He looks to the Lord And in that prayer, he labors each day, because God gives us the ability to do according to our gifts and our limitations. He gives to us our daily portion thereby. We receive that from his hand, and the focus of the child of God, knowing this life is swift and uncertain, focuses on that which is certain, eternal, unmovable, sure, the God of our salvation. And receiving the daily portion from him, we rejoice in his goodness. We're happy with our portion in this swiftly passing life. Why? Why can he do that? Why are we able to do that? That's the second part of verse 20, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. We rejoice because, first of all, God answers our need for our daily portion. We pray to him for our daily bread. God answers us outwardly with the gift of our daily portion. And he answers us not because we deserve it, not because our prayers are so wonderful. He answers that prayer with our daily portion because of his grace, freely giving it to us. And because God answers that prayer outwardly with the gift of our daily portion, we rejoice. We enjoy that. But the text also teaches, when it says God answers in the joy of his heart, that God not only gives us the outward answer of our daily portion, but he also gives us this inner answer in the joy of our heart, that new heart. That thing from which that joy, in which we enjoy our daily portion, arises, that is also part of the answer of God. And that inner answer, which God works in us by his Holy Spirit, is faith. The faith God works makes you and me to know and to be assured that our daily portion is a blessing of the Father to us only for the sake of Jesus Christ and the shedding of his blood. He makes us to know and to be assured before God we are righteous in his sight and we have life with him in his covenant. He is our friend to do us good all our days, never to leave us nor to forsake us, but to carry us through life all the way to the end, which he has determined for us in glory. He makes us to know and to be assured. That's the inner answer of faith. That Christ is at God's right hand, dispensing to us day after day our daily portion as a gift of grace. The result of that inner answer with the outward answer of the daily portion is this joy of contentment and peace in God, a contentment in which we also confess, like Jacob, "Yea, Lord, I have enough. I have everything. I have everything today because I have the answer, Christ. He is the answer at the heart of our daily portion. He is the answer in the heart of faith. He's the source, the foundation, and the center of that joy. Beloved, rejoice in the daily portion that God is pleased to give you day by day. And may he work in us that answer in our hearts of that joy of true faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O most merciful and faithful Father in heaven, be pleased by the Spirit to work in us that true answer of thy saving grace, when we receive our daily portion day by day, we see that as a gift of thy hand, as a blessing for Jesus' sake. And so enjoy, truly enjoy, the daily portion thou art pleased to give us, day by day and all the days of our lives. Encourage us, Heavenly Father, in this word as we labor through another season of planting and harvest. May the creation bring forth, as thou hast determined, food sufficient and the good gifts sufficient for our daily portion day by day, so that we may continue our labor in thy kingdom and covenant here below. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.